bet there's somebody in this room today that's old enough to remember this vintage toy that's right in front of you. Do you remember the ViewMaster? Can you, do you remember that? And I bet there's some collector in the room that's probably would just raise their hand and say, I still got the box. And I still got the box. The ViewMaster, I thought of that this week, and what an amazing toy. I don't know how you can be complete. It was one of those toys that my friends had, and I remember just begging, Mom, have you seen this thing? You know, it's just amazing. What is... when you look through it, those of you that are thinking, "What in the world is that? Is where are the cords? Where are the disc?" You know, like you're just thinking computer games. You know, it had the lever on the side that you just pull that lever, and it would rotate the card. And when the card, I'm sorry, I just caught a view of a parent explaining to their. I'm sorry. That was really great. You pull the lever. And the card turns, and it just changes the scene. And it's a brand new adventure right there in front of your eyes. And you get tired of it, you just pull the lever and just got a brand new scene. It's just right there in front of you. And just over and over, you just keep pulling that lever and changing the scene. Psalm 102 is like a viewfinder. As you work through these verses, it's like the writer of this psalm pulls the lever and you've got a brand new scene right in front of your eyes. And it goes a few verses, you pull the lever and it's another scene right in front of your eyes. You pull the lever and it's another scene right in front of your eyes. And I, as I think about that, I wonder in your own life, what is the view right now for you? What does life look like right now for you? Psalm 101, last week, we talked about it being like a walk-up song. We talked about how it really set the stage for someone in the first day of their new work. Psalm 102 is not so much a walk-up song as it is like a walk-off song. Psalm 101 is like the first day of a brand new life. Psalm 102 is like the last day of a hard life. Psalm 102 is heavy. Psalm 102 is a psalm that is titled from the beginning, a prayer of one afflicted. A prayer of one afflicted. And from the very heading of Psalm 102, we see that the first scene in the ViewMaster is a life of affliction. What is affliction? Affliction is anything that causes pain and suffering. And here in Psalm 102, we're met with this picture of pain and suffering. It is a song for those in pain or those that are suffering. Let's look together in Psalm 102, and I want to read these verses. Before I read them, if you are, it might help you if you mark in your Bibles, if you take notes or however. I want to show you where the scene changes. You could put a little star. I put a little bracket, however you want to mark, so that when you get to those verses, you are able to recognize the lever has been pulled and a scene is changing. And we start in verse 1. But when you get to verse 12, the scene changes. And then you get to verse 18, the lever's pulled, the scene changes. You get to verse 23, It's a new scene. You get to verse 25. It's a new scene. And then you get to verse 28, the last verse. It's a new scene and a last scene. So at verse 1 you start, then verse 12, then verse 18, then verse 23, then verse 25, and then we conclude with verse 28. So let me read these verses. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is struck down like grass and has withered. I forget to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my flesh. I am like a desert owl of the wilderness, like an owl on the waste places. I lie awake. I am like a lonely sparrow on the housetop. All the day my enemies taunt me. Those who deride me use my name for a curse. For I eat ashes like bread and mingle tears with my drink because of your indignation and anger. For you've taken me up and thrown me down. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. Verse 12. But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations. You will arise and have pity on Zion. It is the time to favor her. The appointed time has come. For your servants hold her stones dear and have pity on her dust. Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory. For the Lord builds up Zion. He appears in his glory. He regards the prayer of the destitute and does not despise their prayer. Verse 18. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. That he looked down from his holy height, from heaven the Lord looked at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die, that they may declare in Zion the name of the Lord and in Jerusalem his praise when peoples gather together and kingdoms to worship the Lord. Verse 23, he has broken my strength in mid-course. He has shortened my days. Oh my God, I say, take me not away in the midst of my days, you whose years endure throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you. Psalm 102 is a rescuing psalm. I was hungry to get here this morning. Hungry to get here because of what is the potential of this psalm in your life. Psalm 102 finds a person in pain and suffering, a time of affliction, a time of distress and difficulty. And Psalm 102 is a rescuing psalm. It is a psalm that comes to you in the grace of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord to grab you in a day where you might say, this is not the first day of the rest of my life. It feels a lot more like the last day of a hard life. Psalm 102 shows us, like a viewmaster, a lot of different scenes. I want to describe for you four of those. Psalm 102 shows us the, number one, reality of earthly pain. The reality of earthly pain. I want you to hear this statement I'm about to make. You will want to write it down, or you'll want to be able to find it. It's been a powerful word to me in my heart for many days. One of those phrases I wrote down and have posted on my desk is this: most of the Bible speaks to us. Psalms speaks for us. Most of the Bible speaks to us. Psalms speaks for us. Those words spoken by Athanasius hundreds of years ago. And Psalm 102 does just that. Psalm 102 speaks for us. Songs are powerful to us when they have meaning to them, when they have a story behind them. You have a favorite song right now. You have a long-time favorite song. You have a song that moves you in some powerful way. It is likely it is not so much about the rhythm as it is the combination of the rhythm and the combination of the words and the emotions of the rhythm and the emotions of the words hit you in a place where you would say to yourself, if I was going to put what I experienced into words, that would be the words. And this song of summer, this Psalms of God's Word, Psalm 102, speaks for us. It puts into words for us scenes of the past, maybe a current scene, or perhaps it is a future scene. Psalm 102 may be like that $100 bill you carry in your pocket. It may be like the $20 bill you carry in your pocket. That somewhere out there, there's going to be a moment, you don't know when, where somebody's going to need cash. Somewhere out there, there's going to be a moment where somebody needs Psalm 102. We work through these verses. Look at verse 3. For my days pass away like smoke. You have this beginning of this poetic description of pain and affliction and suffering, and you're going to probably find yourself in one of these phrases, and you're going to be like, that phrase right there puts into words what I've experienced better than anything I've ever known before. He says, for my days pass away like smoke. It is this sense of the writer that your life is fading fast, just disappearing fast. Is it surprise anybody else in this room that today is June the 9th? I mean, did we not just wake up and say, it's June 1st? It's June 9th? Time just passes fast. It's like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. I thought of those times in life where you've been just the physical pain. These are descriptions of physical pain. Bones burn. It's like describing a burning fever. There would be some of you who've witnessed or you've experienced the burning pain of medical treatments, walking through some kind of treatments that you've experienced because of some sickness that you've battled through. My bones burn like a furnace. He says, my heart is struck down like grass and has withered. There's a description of a discouraged spirit. He says, I forget to eat my bread. It's the loss of appetite. You walk through pain and suffering where you would just say that what I experienced was like this. I just forgot. I would just forget to eat. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my flesh. It speaks of losing weight because of the pain that a person is walking through. I'm like a desert owl of the wilderness, like an owl of the waste places. It speaks of a sense of isolation and loneliness. I lie awake those nights of sleeplessness. I am like a lonely sparrow on the housetop, all alone. Nobody walking through what you're walking through, it seems. All the days my enemies taunt me, those who deride me use my name for a curse. I wrote out in my margin there, all the days my enemies taunt me. I put there, my enemies just trash talking. Just trash talking. It's knocking me down. Those who deride me use my name for a curse. Your name becomes associated with just a vain description of other people's struggle. For I eat ashes like bread, it's the loss of taste, and mingle tears with my drink. It's a description of someone that would just say, I don't know what's happened to me. I don't know what's going on with me. I cry about everything. It's the least little thing comes up. I'll be in mid-story and my voice just breaks. I can just be walking down the aisle of Walmart and I'll see something on the shelf and I just break into tears. What's wrong with me? The writer of Psalms never been in Walmart, but I think you get the picture here, that there is this experience of just it, where whatever I'm doing, it's like life is just mixed with tears. Because of your indignation and anger, for you have taken me up and thrown me down. There's this sense, even with the affliction, where he looks around, he's like, God, is this at your hands? It feels like you've come against me. In verse 11, my days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. It speaks of long days and short years. The days can seem so long and the years can seem so short, and they work together, where is time going? Why will time not pass? And all of these things, the fading of time, the physical pain, the discouragement, the loss of appetite, the loss of weight, a sense of loneliness, isolation, sleeplessness, the object of others' words, the tenderness of just tears that flow. What I'm showing to you here from Psalm 102 is that what you're experiencing in everyday life is the reality of earthly pain. It is what comes with life. And Psalms does us a grace. God does us a grace in giving to us a place where in words, before the Lord, we get a sense somebody else knows what I'm going through, and that somebody else that knows what you're going through is God Himself and His eternal Word. Psalm 102 shows us the reality of earthly pain. Psalm 102 also shows us, number two, the necessity of eternal perspective. The necessity of eternal perspective. The writer of this psalm walks through this list of the pain and the affliction, the suffering that they're walking through. And in verse 12, there's this pull of the lever. The scene changes. The view is different now. And verse 12 moves from what's going on in earthly pain to an eternal perspective. Verse 12, it just explodes on the scene. But you. You love those Old Testament, New Testament, where there is one situation and there is that, but God, but you. This is what it feels like. This is what it seems like. This is where I am. But hallelujah, God got involved. Amen? God got involved. And it says, but you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations. And in this experience of earthly pain, he finds a knot at the end of the rope and he clings on to the fact that, you know what? God is a forever God. God is on his throne. My dear brother in our church family will say from time to time, he said, I woke up this morning, you know what? God's still on the throne. God's still on the throne. He said, but you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You remember throughout all generations, you will arise and have pity on Zion. It is the time to favor her. The appointed time has come. For your servants hold her stones dear and have pity on her dust. Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory. For the Lord builds up Zion. He appears in his glory. He regards the prayer of the destitute and does not despise their prayer. This is a word for God's people right here. This is a word for his children. This is a word for us that when we face earthly pain, there's a necessity of eternal perspective. Verses 3 through 11 give us the kingdoms. This is the kingdom of the earth. This is what happens on earth. But here, when you come to verse 12 and following, you get what the King of Kings and Lord of Lords does. Look at verse 18, another scene here of eternal perspective. Let this be recorded for a generation to come so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. He's saying what's going on in our life is not the end. God's working in future generations through even what's happening now. He'll look down from his holy height from heaven. The Lord looked at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die, that they may declare in Zion the name of the Lord and in Jerusalem his praise when peoples gather together in kingdoms to worship the Lord. You know what that is giving you a picture of? It is Revelation 21 in Psalm 102. It is where the kingdoms of the earth give way to the kingdom of heaven. And every tongue and tribe, every nation will come before him and worship him. It is a picture that gives us an eternal perspective. What the writer of Psalms is experiencing here, if you've done this before, we do it right now. Can you see me? Can you look from where you are and can you see me? Would you participate and like just take your hand and like right up in front of you, put your thumb right in front of your eye? And you realize you can no longer see me. I can't see you. But now will you move that thumb out away? And you know what? The whole room comes into view. What's happened? The temporary things, the earthly pain gets right in front of us. It's all we can see right here. But the eternal perspective moves those things away so that they are a part of everything that's going on to where you're able to see so much more. And here in Psalm 102, the one who's afflicted and suffering with pain, he's moving the situation out and he says, let me look at this from an eternal perspective. And those times of pain come, those times that will overwhelm us, those times described here, like 3:11. Over the last few days, I've prayed with a friend for a family who is walking through difficulty with a child. Only to learn this morning that child is now going to heaven. And you think about what those parents are walking through right now, and the only way that they can make it through this day is to be able to put this day in the context of eternity. The month of May is a hard month personally. And you have these months. You have those months on your calendar. My dad was born May the 5th. My dad died on the date of May the 27th. It was Memorial Day this year. My dad was buried on June 1st, 3 years ago. And any of you that have walked through the grief, or you're walking through the grief of the loss of a a parent or a dear loved one, you know that time doesn't make it easier here. Time makes you long for heaven more. There's a reality of earthly pain. There's a necessity of eternal perspective. And number three, Psalm 102 shows us the possibility of everyday peace. And this is good. This is hopeful. There is in Psalm 102 the possibility of everyday peace. Verse 25 through 27 is verses that we read, but just I need to touch base there before moving into this third party. He says, of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. Those verses as well speak about the eternal nature of God. And listen, this is, don't miss this. This was like, it caused me to stop. I'm reading through these psalms, and it's like I just stopped and said, wait, what did he just say? What did he just say? In verse 25, he says, the heavens are the work of your hands. You laid the foundations of the earth. So what we're standing on today, what we see, what we travel to look at, the earth, the heavens, the work of his hands, the Creator God, look at verse 26. They will perish, but you will remain. God is so eternal that he will last longer than this earth and that heaven. And when you come to Revelation 21 and the ends of God's word, you see there will be a new heaven and there will be a new earth. The Psalm 102 is setting his affliction in the context of an eternal God. Where's the peace? The peace comes from this eternal perspective, and it's described in verse 28. He says, the children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you. That's the verse of peace. When he looks at his affliction, when he talks about suffering, he's speaking for us, and he's saying, here's how you can have security. Here's how you can be established. It is by placing your life in the context of an eternal God. That's what gives you the possibility of peace every day of this life. He's saying there's security in the presence of this God. Why? We are cared for by this eternal God. We're his children. We're his servants. We shall dwell secure. And then he speaks, their offspring shall be established before you. This word established, it speaks of able to withstand the storm. It's established. It's rooted. You plant a tree in your yard. You plant a plant in your yard. You watch it and you see it and it wilts, it withers. And you try to water it and you try to bring it back to life and you water and it comes back and it wilts again. And then you get through the winter, you get to the next year and you're still looking at that plant and you think, I don't know if it's going to make it or not. No new growth, leaves are yellow. You get to the next year and you're like, there's a little bit coming out there. But there comes a time when you look at that tree and you say, finally, that tree, the horticulturalist in the room, finally, that tree is what? Established. It's established. And that's the picture here. There comes a time when you walk with the Lord and you see the temporary nature of earthly suffering and you put it in the context of an eternal God and you realize, you know what, I'm secure and I'm established and I can withstand the storm because of who God is, and that gives us peace. Horatio Spafford, he wrote the song we sang the verse and chorus to just a moment ago, "It Is Well With My Soul." Many of you know, some of you are not aware, that Horatio Spafford had built a law firm in Chicago in the 1800s. He invested basically all of his money in real estate along the Chicago River, and the Great Fire of Chicago destroyed all of his real estate, and he was wiped out. But just before that fire wiped everything out that he had overnight, he had also experienced the death of his son. And so he had the death of his son and then the lost everything overnight in a fire. There came a time a couple of years later where he thought it would be good for his family if they could retreat, if they could rest. And so he sent his wife and four daughters on ahead of him in order to take care of some business. They sailed for Europe. And in 1873, on their way to Europe, the ship with his wife and his four daughters were struck by another ship. And the ship that they were on sunk in 12 minutes. Horatio Spafford received a cable from his wife that simply said, "Saved alone. Saved alone." His four daughters had been lost at sea. He sailed to meet his wife in Wales. And the song that we sing, "It Is Well With My Soul," is believed to have been written by Horatio Spafford when he approached the place in the sea where the ship had sunk and his daughters were lost. And he wrote those words, "It is well. It is well with my soul." How was everyday peace possible for him? How could he say it was well with his soul? It was couched in an eternal perspective. Last thing I would call your attention to here from these verses: reality of earthly pain, the necessity of eternal perspective, the possibility of everyday peace. And fourth, we see in this psalm the vitality of earnest prayer. The very first two verses of Psalm 102 is where we get our life from. It's where you're going to get your life from today. It's where you're going to find that peace today. How do you get to a point of putting things in eternal perspective? It's verse 1 and 2, and it's verse 17. Verse 1, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call." That is earnest prayer. Verse 17, "He regards the prayer of the destitute and does not despise their prayer." Earnest prayer. The vitality of earnest prayer. When I say vitality, I mean the power of earnest prayer, the life of earnest prayer, this sense of meaning, this sense of purpose, the sustainability of life comes through the power of praying earnestly before God. Of taking your days today, of taking your affliction today and putting it before the Lord. What is earnest prayer? Earnest prayer has a sense of determination to it. "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me. Incline your ear to me." Don't miss the emotion of that prayer. It is not a thought prayer. It is a crying out. Determined prayer. It is a prayer of passion. It is a prayer of petition. It is a prayer of urgency. And when you go to God with a sense of determination and petition and passion and urgency, the Spirit of God works in our life, it works in our situations, it works in our heart and mind to open our view to an eternal God. I wonder if Psalm 102 is your song today. Has Psalm 102 spoken for you today? Psalm 102 is not perhaps just your song. Psalm 102 also is our Savior's song. This very psalm describes for us the suffering Savior, the route that Jesus went through with eternity set before him. Hebrews teaches us that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. In fact, let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Speaking of Jesus Christ, says, but of the Son, it's Jesus, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Verse 10, listen. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. Sound familiar? The writer of Hebrews was familiar with Psalm 102. And it shows us that even in our Savior, in Jesus Christ, that what he suffered in this life was set in the context of an eternal perspective. Worship team's going to come as we close this morning, and they're going to lead us in a closing song. And as they're coming right now, let me just sort of recap as they take their place. When our earthly pain meets earnest prayer, it produces an eternal perspective and everyday peace. Our enemy wants us to live drowning in pain. God wants you to live drowning the pain in praise. Our enemy wants us focused on earthly things. God wants you to be focused on eternal things. The enemy wants us living paralyzed by fear. God wants you to live walking in freedom. The enemy wants the next generation to reject God as a failure. God wants the next generation to know he is faithful. See Jesus for who he is. Our Savior from sin, our sustainer of life. Turn to him in earnest prayer today. Sing a new song.